Welcome to Hometown Highlights, where we sit down with professionals, business owners, and community members. There are so many unique and incredible stories in the individuals and businesses that surround us every day. Here on Hometown Highlights, we bring attention to these stories and bring them to the spotlight. We also want to thank our sponsors at Hitchings Insurance. We appreciate their support in creating this podcast. Now, let's jump into the conversation. Welcome to Hometown Highlights, where we sit down with professionals, business owners, and community members. There are so many unique and incredible stories in the individuals and businesses that surround us every day. Here on Hometown Highlights, we bring attention to these stories and bring them to the spotlight. We also want to thank our sponsors at Hitchings Insurance. We appreciate their support in creating this podcast. Now, let's jump into the conversation. Hello, and welcome to another episode here on Hometown Highlights. I'm your co-host, Dom Fry, the insurance guy. Here with my co-host, Ryan Pessel. Ryan, how are we doing this morning?
I'm doing really good, Dom. I appreciate you asking.
Yeah, of course. We are excited to have a really good episode today. For the first time, we have two guests on, and let's introduce both of those guests that we have on today. So our first guest is born and raised out of Findlay, Ohio, where he is a graduate from Liberty Benton High School, and he got his bachelor's degree in hospitality management. Today, he is married to his wife, Stephanie, and they have three children, Ava, James, and Cora, and he is an active participant in their church at Movement Church, as well as with Compassion International, and his hobbies include golf, golf, and golf. Professionally, he is a financial advisor and has been for the last 15 years. And we also have on his partner, who is a graduate from Arcadia High School, where he then got his bachelor's degree in applied health science from Bowling Green State University. Today, he is married to his wife, Brianna, and they are coming up on a decade, on 10 years this fall. And they have two boys, Harrison and Miles. And he is involved with Hancock's Literacy. He is the Hancock Literacy's treasurer and chair for fundraising for the past 3 years. And he is the owner and certified financial planner of Brimley and Frisch Wealth Management. So let's welcome on, respectively, John Brimley and Curtis Frisch. How are you guys doing this morning?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having us on. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good morning, Dom. Really appreciate you guys and what you're doing. I'm really excited to chat today. This is our first podcast, so be kind.
Nice. Well, welcome on. We're excited to do this. I'm excited to have you guys on, just talk a little bit about your expertise, get to know you guys a little more, just as individuals, and obviously just your involvement within the community here within Findlay in the Northwest Ohio region. So let's just ask a couple basic, questions just for our listeners to get to know you guys better as individuals and as people. So a very important question, first and foremost, something that we all use every single day on a daily basis is your phone. So are you guys team Apple or team Android?
Oh, man, I'm point and shoot. Give me Apple all day long.
I am team Apple as well. I recall a quick story, if I may, about my Apple experience. I'd walked into BGSU's campus and they would split 50-50 down the center of PC versus Mac, and all the PCs were taken and a project was due. So I really didn't have a choice, and I've been Apple ever since with everything.
Nice. So you are you team Apple everything, John, or just for your phone?
So for all things personal, we are team Apple. For the business, much to our chagrin, right? We are PC users, right? So team Microsoft when it comes to the business. But the kids are all in Apple, right? I think the dog can use Apple. It's just amazing.
Awesome. Next question for you guys then. Are you more morning or night people?
Yeah, so much to my wife's chagrin, I am a morning person born and bred, and two of the three children are morning kids. So we are up bright and early. You know, our kind of power hour is about, you know, 5 a.m. And there's nothing like a good sunrise, right?
Well, so I would agree, morning, but I've adapted over the years. I was most certainly not a morning person growing up. But since you have kids, you get on with busyness of life. Morning is the busiest time of our day.
Whether you want to be a morning person or not, you end up just kind of being forced into it, right?
Correct.
It kind of happens. I don't know about you guys, but like 9:30 at night, I mean, I'm out. You know, there is no night person.
There's no shame, John. I'm in bed by like 8:45 every day. So
right,
I get it.
Right. It is what it is, fellas.
Last question for you then, as we get to know you, is what is one thing that most people don't know about you, or what's the fun fact about each of you?
Oh, man. Curtis, go for this one first, please.
Okay. So I'll go with a fun fact that may be a little bit darker, but I'm a failed physical therapist. So a lot of folks have heard my bachelor's focus in applied health science and have kind of been curious, you know, wait, you're a financial planner? How did this happen? Well, I had, you know, dreams of becoming a physical therapist throughout my stay at BGSU and applying off to medical school, and it just never materialized for me. So here I am. It's all worked out for the better.
Yeah, so that's awesome, Curtis. I don't know that mine's is fun, but I guess, you know, through life, I have been a Bill Laimbeer fanatic. I had a chance to meet him when I was young, and I was young and impressionable, was a Cavs fan at the time, but it completely changed, you know, my outlook on life and the tenacity I approach everything with. And so I've become a lifelong Pistons fan and followed him into his coaching years into the WNBA as he won a couple championships as a coach as well.
Very cool. Well, Curtis, you've already eaten up one of the questions I had for you in your degree. Applied health science from BGSU, so you're a Falcon. That's awesome. I didn't know that piece about you. Yeah, I didn't know that about you. Mm-hmm. That's very cool. And then, John, you have a degree in hospitality management. What exactly were your plans when you were in college?
Right. So when I was young, I thought I had some major golf abilities, and my plan was to kind of work my way down the East Coast from resort to resort and running resorts by day and playing golf by nights and seeing what would happen, you know, on the professional ranks. But I quickly learned in college that was not going to be the case. And so decided I'd focus more on resort management than the golf skills.
For anybody listening, John is very humble. The boy can play flat out. That is really neat that you were actually considering, you know, the professional avenue with golf. But as you know, as we know, they can really play on those tours. I mean, the Korn Ferry Tour, you know, everything from mm-hmm. there down and up. So, I mean, you have to be extremely skilled. And you've played against those. Like, you played – how many Ohio AMs have you played in?
So only one Ohio AM, but the eye-opening experience for me was my freshman year in college. I had the chance to play in a tournament against Nathan Smith, who has gone on to win multiple U.S. mid-amateurs. I think he's won a U.S. AM, if not multiple. And it's not just another level. I mean, there are multiple levels, and when – you know, the PGA Tour has the tagline, these guys are good. It's unbelievable how skilled they are. You know, they have more skill in their pinky than I've got in a lifetime of golf. So,
yeah, it's interesting. We follow them, you know, like we go down to the Memorial and follow those guys around. Their misses, I mean, they miss the fairway by like 3 feet and they think it's a bad shot. It's right. Absolutely insane.
Right, right. Oh, I'm on the left side of the fairway, not the right. You know, life is over.
Exactly. Yeah, and they'll hit it up to the green. They're like, you know, 15 feet. And they're like, man, that is – and you can just see their disgust. It's like, wow, it's really amazing. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, very cool. All right, Curtis, so you – one of your hobbies is woodworking, and it looks like you took advantage of that during COVID, built the kids a playhouse. Is that something you really enjoy to do?
Yeah, so shout out to Mr. Edie back from high school. You remember shop class.
I love that man.
Great guy. I think we all gave it to him as students, maybe a bit more than we should. That was a very ornery class for us kids. But, man, just applied to life and then some. As we've gotten older and become a homeowner and have things break, how cool is it to know that Mr. Edie impacted us to be able to fix it and do it on the cheap, on your own? That's just kind of grown over the years. Is whenever I face a project, I'll buy a tool or two so I have it for next time. And you know, over the years, I've just accumulated quite an array of them. And then, yeah, here in COVID, I actually had two woodworking projects, one of which was for my boys, building a treehouse in the backyard. We'd always talked about it. We have two adjacent trees that just makes really good sense for a fun treehouse for them to climb up in and do what boys do, get dirty and tear it up. But I built an arcade. So I built a cabinet out of MDF and put an old computer in it, you know, did a lot of, you know, minute cuts and different holes and made sure it all plumbed up real nice, and have a 4-person arcade for the kids to play. And let's be honest, yeah, I play it a fair amount too.
No, I mean, it's neat because that, you know, me too, as far as the woodworking, the arcade thing is really, I actually want to see it, to be honest with you. So you're going to have to send me a picture of that. But, you know, so I've framed up my own bathroom in my shop. You know, I built different deer blinds, all sorts. I trimmed my first house all by myself, you know, so there's all sorts of things that apply from that, in massive amounts of money that you can save by doing it yourself. And the weird part is it actually comes out looking halfway decent. So must have learned something.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yep. Curtis, you got a weakness on your sheet here. Tunnel vision. Is this like you're super laser focused, or you go down rabbit holes and you can't see what's around you? Like, give me what does that look like for you?
So this is a fun share. So back in my former life, before I'd started my own biz with John here on the call, mentor, you know, we always kind of dreamed of doing this, but, you know, kind of grew up in a big bank, and, you know, they had taught me a lot, and I would always be hypercritical of myself at review time. And I was very receptive to feedback to say, you know, what can I do better? And that was always a very constant was, well, you have tunnel vision, you focus on a project and you really can't multitask. Well, if you're in client service, you can understand that, you know, although this is a negative, it's actually quite a positive because, you know, when someone's in front of me, you know, that's all I'm working on. And that's always been something I've kind of pointed a passion of mine that if you come in and say, hey, I have something I need help with, I'm going to figure it out every which way and then some because it's just my motivation. You know, I love what I do because you kind of become a financial fixer. And by having tunnel vision, and in today's day and age and all the access of data, just by Google or pulling a textbook or connecting with a colleague, tunnel vision has turned out to be, you know, a negative in some ways, right? I mean, a lot of folks would say tunnel vision, you can't, you know, do that more than one thing. But I always kind of chuckle and say, you know, this is a fun moment for me to soapbox. And I love that flaw. I hope I never change it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. When I see both of your interviews here, so your weakness, Curtis, is tunnel vision, and then your partner's is perfectionist, which really is, honestly, it's the same thing, just written differently. You know, when you think about it, your tunnel vision is you're laser focusing on something. Same thing with him. I would assume, right. John, would you agree that you're super ultra focused on getting everything exactly right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's certainly a degree of attention to detail and trying to balance the tension of, you know, that being healthy and not being healthy. And so, you know, it's great for clients that we're never going to give up, right? We want to make sure that their plan is completely dialed in and any type of change is going to be addressed. We're not going to just let something sit and bake unattended to per se. But you know, on the other side of that is right, as business owners, you also have to find a way to let go a little bit. And you know, it takes a lot of practice to better delegate and communicate, you know, what you're trying to get across and what you're trying to execute.
For sure. So you said a word there, delegate.
Mm-hmm.
So you two came over from corporate, started with just the two of you. I think you've since made a hire to maybe help delegate some of that workload for you guys. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we formed our business, you know, the initial onset idea is that, hey, we would have someone helping us with administrative purposes and kind of practice management from the onset. However, we quickly realized, you know, with the advancement in technology and the platform, you know, we've been provided, there were a lot of synergies between Curtis and I as we build out our business. And so here we are 2.5 years in, we did make a hire, and we think she's doing a great job first and foremost. But yeah, it was a process, right? And even through the interview process, we were working on, okay, we're going to have to let these things go, and we're going to have to, you know, be okay with someone else kind of running the ball for us. And, you know, it's a challenge, but wow, when you come out on the other side and you see, hey, because I let go of something, it's now doing far better than we would have done with it, you know, kind of holding on way too tight. I think of like the golf grip, right? You know, you go get a lesson, and one of the things the pro is going to talk to you about is, hey, you're holding on to the club too tight. And you're like, yeah, I want to control it through the impact zone. They're like, no, you got to hold it like a bird. And I think that applies to business as well.
Yeah, you've got to figure out a happy medium between how do you scale and grow, but keep that local hometown feel. You've got to put those two things together. And I think you're finding your way through that. Yeah, I mean, that golf grip thing is perfect. You squeeze too tight. What do? You pull it hard, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's really a good analogy there. So let's talk with what's going on just nationally. Let's get into the financial advisor role, what you guys do. What are your thoughts? It's everything. I mean, the market continues to go up, right? Yesterday was not a good day. I haven't seen what it's doing. What's it doing yet today? Have you guys looked? I assume you've looked.
So markets are set to open down a little bit this morning.
Okay. So what, I mean, nationally, what do you see happening here in the next, you know, 6 to 9 months with everything that's going on in the world today?
So I would say I think that the value of professional advice over the next 12 months, over really any forward-looking 12-month period, will be more paramount a year from now than it is today. Markets have always been turbulent, right? And we've always had seasons of great markets, sideways markets, and down markets. And those periods of time are sometimes years, and sometimes, as we saw last year, a matter of days, if not just a month. Mm-hmm. But I think the value of planning and professional advice going forward is going to really be brought into focus.
Very interesting. Yeah.
If you don't mind, I would just share John's sentiment that that's something we've learned since March of last year. Kind of have a unique event that, you know, hopefully history doesn't repeat itself in the near term, and we continue to get away from, you know, all that we've had to deal with as a world, right, with all things COVID-19. Mm-hmm. But, you know, professionally, you're in your office and you see the market go down. It falls beyond what we would call a circuit breaker level, where it actually pauses for a period of time. A few days later, does it again. A few days later, does it again. I mean, we had three. And, you know, if you had asked me when I first started my career, if I would have, you know, had the third go off and not even flinch and just keep working. And mm-hmm. by working, you know, of course, John and I are able to intimately meet with, you know, all of our clients, whether it's digitally, phone, or in person. At this time, it was all remote, but at a very frequent cadence. And that's what matters. At times, we get lost up in economics or markets or policy changes, which, by the way, it sounds like there's more coming. That's always going to be the case. I think the uniqueness of, like you'd said, Ryan, I mean, you guys do an incredible job with Hitchings in doing this, is, you know, getting to know who you work with, being comfortable with them, and riding through it. Because mm-hmm. there's always going to be good and bad times, but boy, it matters so much more to have a professional on your side during the bad times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I'm in business, obviously, is to pay claims. If something bad happens, you want to make sure that that person is made whole again and they can get back what they had or what they lost. So totally can relate there in that piece of advice. What is the most general piece of financial advice you can give? Like, is there a certain amount of somebody's income they should be sitting back? Is it what they can afford? Like, just in general, not, you know, specifically looking at my situation or a client situation, but what, is there any nuggets that you can give anybody that would be listening?
Oh yeah. this is where you're gonna have to turn us off. I mean, how much time do we have?
Take whatever you need, man. This is what it's for. let's listen to your expertise, man. I want to hear it.
So I love the way you position this, because in our world, you can make things way too complicated, right? Mm-hmm. You can look at your debt versus your income, you know, a quantitative, qualitative analysis of your portfolio. You can spit out all these analytics. And at the end of the day, something that I really, you know, I try and practice what I preach is increase your net worth with every decision you make. Mm. And the more you wrap your head around that, I mean, how simple is that? And if you're paying off debt, your net worth is increasing. If you're saving, it's an increase. Just always be moving in that direction. And simplistically, you'll be better off.
Hmm. That's a pretty good nugget there, Curtis.
Trying, man.
Yeah, that was a good one. John, what do you think?
Well, gee, I guess buy low and sell high, you know. It's just kind
of... Man, if you had a crystal ball, right?
No, I think Curtis has given you some great wisdom there. You know, I think, you know, other novel concepts are, you know, gosh, start saving in some capacity as early as you can. And please, please, please teach your kids to do that as well. Mm-hmm. Right. And so when you kind of talk about behavioral finance, if you're setting money aside at 5 years old or 10 years old or even 20 years old, right, you're teaching yourself in some respects how to budget, not only today, but along the way and also in retirement, which is one of the most common questions we get is either, you know, hey, when can we retire? How can we retire? What will retirement look like financially for us? You know, will we outlive our money? There are a lot of retirement oriented questions. And so you can start living within your means. And to Curtis's point, improving your net worth with every decision you make from an early age, you know, that is how clients really understand the concept of being financially healthy.
I love that. More than you know, that is incredible stuff. I want to talk about something that's completely outlandish that I heard yesterday. So I'm talking to this is kind of funny, and I don't know that there's anything behind it, but a professional person heard a rumor that Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos divorces are set up to make the market crash and start a massive sell-off sometime this fall. Does that make any sense to either one of you as financial planners?
It, you know, frankly, it does, because in today's world, we have such a vast flow of news that at times we all kind of chuckle between ourselves. You know, is it real? Is it substantiated? Is it just based on a rumor? You know, there's so many different ways to digest information today. And I think as a nation, we're all a bit divided about that. And it's kind of a struggle, right? I mean, being small town USA here in Findlay, Ohio, born and raised, you know, that stuff really bothers me that, you know, this news flies and then it's just like anything, it spreads quickly. And at times you want to go back to the source, which you will never probably know, right? Like who started this rumor? Right. Well, that's really hard to find. But, you know, Jeff Bezos and, you know, Mr. Gates being so large that they are in asset size and influence, you know, we hear this stuff on an ongoing basis that, you know, so-and-so's doing this and look out. And our ultimate reaction at times is a bit calloused is, you know, of course there's going to be rumors. Just don't base your decisions upon them, right? Don't let it influence your day. Go out and play catch with your kid. Go out and have lunch with someone you haven't in a while. Like, does it really influence you individually? And if it does, turn the TV off, right? Mm-hmm. Unfollow an app or two. go outside. Life is precious, right? I think we've all seen that, you know, we've taken some liberties for granted that now we're looking back on saying, man, how fun was it to just be in a group of people and have a good time? That's what's more important.
Yeah. I mean, if COVID did nothing else, it took us back, I don't know how many years, but how much time do we get to spend with our kids with no distractions? I played more catch and more soccer and more football than I've ever played in my entire life with an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old, you know? So if it did nothing else, it did bring your families closer. You know, so there was some good that came out of it for sure. All right, let's talk about Brimley Frisch. What does it feel like to be independent, guys?
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, that's the reaction I expected.
Amazing. Recommend it for all. This has been an incredible process. When we sat down and Curtis and I both put our cards on the table and talked about, you know, kind of our vision for financial services specific to the Findlay, Ohio region, right? Specific to our hometown. You know, we saw a very different path forward than where we were currently at. And, you know, that's not a knock on where we were. It's just we had a different vision and we're very excited about that. And so we sat down with 15 different firms, some independent, some not. And we couldn't be more pleased to have chosen the independent path to own our business and to work unencumbered with our clients and with the people of our community.
Absolutely. So chime in and just share a sentiment that, you know, we had done our due diligence as planners, practicing what we preach. You know, John and I are disciplined with every dollar. You know, that's kind of a Dave Ramseyism, but it makes a lot of sense. You know, assign a goal to every dollar and let them work. We did it with our own vision and still doing it to this day. We're very, you know, when it comes to day-to-day decisions, we approach it, you know, as though it's our own decision and our client's decision. It's not a, you know, again, no offense to former lives or corporate America. It just wasn't for us. The independence, it requires more time and effort and energy day in and day out to, you know, any decision is a hard decision. And sometimes no decision is a big decision. All of that plays out every single day. I mean, you see these stories where, you know, a book I think of is The 4-Hour Workweek. And I always chuckle. I've never read that book for what it's worth, full disclosure, but I could never open it because it is so against the grain from how I tick. You know, grew up out in Arcadia, out in the country from a, you know, hardworking family. You put in the time and you get out what you put in, right? And that's how, you know, we've done what we're doing, and we hope to do it for a very long time because it's instantly gratifying when you're able to impact someone's life with their financial situation improving, and doing it with care, to where we've made the joke internally so often that when we lose a client, which happens, right? You know, sometimes it's logistically they want to go, you know, across the country, or they just don't seem to like what we're necessarily telling them they should be doing, which is fine, but it hurts. where before, you know, it was just kind of a part of the day because you're throwing darts at the board at everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, when we get someone in front of us, like, you're part of our group now. Like, you may not know this, but we really care. Like, we lose sleep at night over the decisions we make because we know it's John and I that are the ones behind it, you know, putting our career on the line for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So, A, the buck stops with us. B, clients are choosing to work with us, not a brand. And I can't help but think of the movie Cocktail, where, you know, young Brian is trying to win back Jordan's heart, right? And they've got a baby on the way. Jordan lives Upper East Side. He goes to try to win her back, and the dad's like, you know, trying to write him a check to have him just leave, right? Just, hey, here, take your money and just go pound sand. And they're getting in the elevator after a skirmish, and the dad, you know, has the check kind of thrown back at him, and he says to Jordan and Brian, you know, hey, if you leave, you're on your own. And Brian looks right back at him, right? And what does he say? He says, we want it no other way. This is how it's going to be.
Exactly.
And they go on and launch a very successful bar. They have twins, right? And everyone lives happily ever after.
So I have to interject and joke. I didn't know if it was going to be cocktail or the Browns that came first. It was cocktail.
It was. Not my favorite movie, but it's up there. It's up
there. Dom, you're in good hands. So who's the Browns fan? John?
All day, yeah.
All day.
Yeah.
Dom, you're going to have to step in here and let's talk about the Browns a little bit.
What'd you think of this offseason so far, John?
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Super Bowl aspirations. Oh, I was talking to another super fan this morning. We were trying to guess how many primetime games this year out of 17. My guess was 6. I believe we'll get a divisional game primetime with each team, probably a Chiefs rematch, right? I am all in on the Browns 2021, and my ticket is punched to the Super Bowl. I'll be there at the parking lot, not necessarily in the game.
Yeah, I was a little upset this morning. You know, I've seen over the last couple of years the different, I think Jim Rome talked about it, but about how the Browns are slowly becoming America's team. The Cowboys are the team of the past.
It's
becoming the Browns.
It is.
Today, this morning, they just released and said the first game of this upcoming season is going to be the Bucks versus the Cowboys. And I'm like, the Cowboys? Dude, the Cowboys are the team of the past. Forget about them.
It's a nod to the past, but we will be looking forward. The future is bright and the time is right. Andrew Berry has us locked in. Jadeveon Clowney paired with Myles Garrett, you know, on the defensive side of the ball with just a lightning fast, hard-hitting secondary. Are you kidding me? Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt going up the middle. I mean, it's Cleveland football for our beloved Browns. They're back.
For sure. The last couple of years, they've gotten a lot of really good pieces that aren't the big names, which is exactly what we've needed. And, I'm super stoked for this upcoming season.
The entire offense is returning. How does that happen in the salary cap era, right? The entire offense is back.
Honestly, that front office is doing some amazing things in piecing this team together. I'm not a huge NFL fan, guys, but what you see and what they're doing, I don't know. It's really neat because we all know that Ohio has the best sports fans anywhere.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if you look at Ohio State, you look at Cleveland, you can go on and on and on about all these sports teams, and there's always a huge following in Ohio. It's just a great sports state in general. So, it's really neat to see just from the outside looking in. My wife's from Cleveland, so naturally we kind of root for Cleveland. I hope they open up the facility for fans this year because I would love to catch a game up there and take my boy up and just watch that show that they're going to put on the field. So
should be good stuff. Expectations are as high as they've maybe ever been since the Cardiac Kids, right?
Right, definitely. I mean, I don't know. What are their – do we know what their odds are to win the Super Bowl, Dom? Have you looked?
I'm not quite certain.
I'd be curious to see what they are.
Pre-draft, not that I looked. Pre-draft, they were 20-1. Pre-draft, post-Jadeveon Clowney signing, 20-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
I believe 10-1 to get to the AFC Championship game, if I'm recalling that correctly. But haven't seen it post-draft, which they won the draft. I mean, there is such a thing as winning the draft because the Browns just did that here in 2021.
I mean, it was solid. Everything they've done here just in the last, 24 months is just – they really haven't had a boneheaded move like they did in Pat. You know, in days of Pat, it was just like, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? We got another receiver that we don't have a quarterback to throw to him, you know? There were so many – bad things that had happened to Cleveland Browns football, and now I think they're finally piecing it together, which it's really cool to see in the home state of Ohio. So,
it's amazing.
It is.
I can hear Curtis laughing through this entire segment.
Oh, I mean, I've been through this for nearly a decade, gentlemen, where the aspirations are high this time of year, and then the season kicks off, and things don't always go in the direction we were hoping. But boy. You know, I'm with you, Ryan. I'm not much of an NFL fan, but it feels like the opportunity is there like never before. And if any fan base deserves one amazing Super Bowl run, it's the Brownies.
I mean, can you imagine the mayhem down there on on the streets? Like, I've been there when the Indians – so we've been to some playoff games when the Indians are playing and they've won games. It is complete mayhem on those streets. Like, I've never seen so much beer drinking and people hooting and hollering and running around. It's a fun place to be when the sports are in town, you know. So I can't imagine what will happen if the Browns win the Super Bowl, honestly. So
we'll be there, though, guys. We will be there in Cleveland seeing it with our own eyes. Yes. There's no doubt. People will flock from miles and miles away. What are we, 150 miles from Cleveland?
Yeah,
and
basically,
We'll be there like it was a morning commute, like awesome. En route.
just fair warning to your clients, you won't be available the Monday after, right?
Correct.
No, that's what Correct. Partnership's for, guys. I will be holding it down the day after for Mr. Brimley. That's what we do.
Oh, that's great. All right, guys, let's get off the Browns wagon here. Let's talk about what you guys really support in Findlay, Hancock County, Northwest Ohio, and in the state of Ohio. Curtis, you're heavily involved with Hancock Literacy. What drew you to this charity, and what do they got going on over there?
No, so great question. Appreciate the ability to share about Hancock Literacy, because it's really important for me. You know, growing up, had a great, you know, house with my mom was an avid reader. Not to say that dad wasn't, but it just felt like mom would corral my brother Kyle and I, and we would read book after book after book. And, you know, thinking back to the fun of the Pizza Hut, you know, the little stickers. I think everyone from the 80s kids remember.
Yeah, get a personal pan pizza, yeah.
Yep, going and pick out your own pizza and roll out like you were the king of Pizza Hut. But, you know, I stepped out away from, you know, my former life with the big bank, and one of my aspirations was to do more for our community with my own skill set. So I'd raised my hand to a few local boards to say, hey, do you need some help? And it was just a natural fit with Shannon Anderson, our director at Hancock Literacy. We've known Shannon for a while. And we got to talking and said, hey, why don't you come over and just help out on a committee? Totally just feel your way out. See if this is something you would be passionate about. And again, just a natural fit. Have grown to be treasurer and the chair of the fundraising committee, which has been probably my most challenging role over the last year, for obvious reasons with COVID-19, trying to engage and, you know, make, you know, donations fun amidst a time where, you know, everyone's buckling down. I have two boys, both Harrison, who's 5, and Miles, who will be 1 here in June. And I feel like they are blessed beyond measure with the opportunities they have, with both mom and dad having just a bookcase throughout our house. I mean, it always feels like we're running out of room for more books. And that's a dilemma today for some children. You know, this is an interesting statistic, and we audit it fairly often, but 14% of Hancock County are functionally illiterate, which means they possess reading and writing, but managing daily living and employment tasks are difficult for them. Wow. And, you know, at times in life, we feel like, you know, equity versus equality. Here's an equity deal, right? You know, what kind of footing do we have ourselves on or our children's feet on? And they're going to be far ahead. So I wanted to do my best to spread that message to others that there are some programs around town that don't cost you a dime that, you know, we fundraise for that helps others in need that may not have that opportunity, like the Dolly Parton Imagination Library. So if anyone's had children from 0 to 5, we provide a book a month, comes out in the mailbox, addressed to them. Pretty cool to see how excited kids get to go out and get their book. It's not quite a pizza, but similar experience, right? But it's been fun to latch on, and I've had some interesting interactions. So I know you guys had spoke with Dave Crosser. We had done our own joint fundraising venture a few years back, where we had fundraised to do an ice cream sundae on the losing team, and Dave and I were buddies in losing. we stood in a bank parking lot and were covered in ice cream and whipping and you name it. I mean, it was everywhere, but well worth it. And was able to be put on the front page of the Courier, a good highlight.
I remember it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just just different, which has been fun to do, just to kind of, you know, jump in, help out, and spread my knowledge and maybe areas that, you know, some of the other folks may not be as sharp in, because boy, I learn a lot every day just working with educators or others in different areas that it's not my specialty, right? It takes a village to move anything forward. And, you know, we're very blessed as a nonprofit that we've had as good a run as we have. Yeah, things have been going great. We just had our spelling bee, and John and I were contributors, and we participated in a team, and surprisingly finished 4th out of 10. We thought we were going to be in 9th or 10th place for sure.
I'm glad they didn't call me.
We're good at math, not spelling.
That's right. I'm a numbers guy, man. I'm with you. I'd have been terrified.
Yep. So it's been fun. And then as the year progresses, actually today, we're doing a Chipotle fundraiser. We're looking always to do new things in the community to help out. And it's been a fun time.
Yeah, I'm just reading the website here. Since 2014, 115,000 plus books from kids ages 0 to 5 that live in Hancock County. Mm-hmm. Dude, that's a lot of books, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Testament to the program, back to our founders that brought the Dolly Parton Library to our community. But yeah, it's quite the cadence, and we hope to have more. I mean, we have a pretty good adoption, you know, how many folks that are eligible that take us up on the offer, but you'd be surprised. You know, there's, I believe it's anywhere between 30% and 40% that don't take advantage that are eligible. So, and you guys are out and about and you see a young child or young family, it's good to ask, hey, were you aware as a resident of Hancock County, you can enroll in this? It's a free program. Mm-hmm. There's some really fun books.
Yeah. We were a part of it. So I'm really familiar with it. I guess, how do you get people signed up? What's that look like?
So it's as simple as going out to our website and enrolling. We have a Facebook page. We have our own HancockLiteracy.org. You can reach out to me. You can reach out to Shannon, our director. We have a lot of different literature out at the appropriate locations where you have just a little flyer that mm-hmm. you can fill out your data, and then we'll get you enrolled. We try and make it far too easy to get enrolled.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I appreciate sharing that. John, absolutely. You're part of the Movement Church and Children's Mentoring Connection. Let's talk a little bit about some things that you're passionate about.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been a part of Movement Church Findlay since the launch back in 2014. That's been just absolutely awesome being a part of that. I was with Eric Ferguson, who's on staff there in high school, and so it was really neat how that all came together kind of around the time we had our second James. But Movement is, a big part of Findlay. We've wanted to be in Findlay as we're for Findlay. So there's a lot of different organizations that Movement's helping out, and CMC is absolutely one of them. Which, of course, they just had the big bowling event a couple weeks back.
Yeah, so what Movement, if anybody's not familiar, they actually just moved downtown into a brand new facility. Used to be the Ace Hardware, right, mm-hmm. John? Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that facility, I think Garlock Brothers had done the renovation, and man, it looks awesome. So I hope that's been well received and something that you guys can plant your roots in downtown and continue to grow as a nonprofit and a church and move towards the future.
Absolutely. So we were previously meeting at Glenwood, which we found to be just absolutely wonderful because we've got a big heartbeat for kids, and who better to serve than teachers and to kids, right? Not just through our Sunday service, but kind of living that out throughout the week. And so as we were looking for a permanent location, and COVID was absolutely in the middle of all of this coming together. Being downtown Findlay was a huge goal of ours. Is, you know, we've done a lot of things in Findlay, like the free lunch that was downtown, you know, on the corner of Sandusky and Main. We've been a part of kind of the Christmas tree lighting and supplying the band to play carols and whatnot. So Yeah, it's a huge deal for us. Garlock Brothers just knocked it out of the park. I mean, it's a great facility. It's hard to believe that a church is able to connect, you know, four services on a Sunday, right? But they've just built a beautiful location for us. So now it's on us to go out and serve our community, right? And to live it out. And so, yeah, CMC is definitely one of our partnerships. We definitely want to serve kids locally, just like Curtis is doing through Hancock Literacy.
Yeah, I think anytime you can give back, you know, and help the children of the community, you're going to have a better long-term, area, a county, a state. You're going to give them opportunities that they maybe wouldn't have had by mentoring, obviously, with what Curtis is doing with literacy. What else can you ask for is really to give those kids a head start, make them honestly more intelligent so they can be, you know, bigger givers to society when they become of age and become an adult. So, yeah, what you guys are doing is important. It does matter. And I thank you for what you do for the community and making it a better place for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. I think of, you know, one of the taglines from Savage is to, you know, essentially better the lives of all those that we serve. And so we just want to live that out on the daily.
Yeah. I think anyone can really relate to that. So that's good stuff there.
No. And if I may, I would share, going back to homage to Mr. John F. Savage, you know, the founder of our organization, he had always really done a great job with philanthropy. And, you know, some folks might be familiar with Savage Hall, Savage Arena. Mm-hmm. There's a Savage Foundation. They do a Savage Golf Classic. It's just a lot of interaction with the community purely based on just want to help. Mm-hmm. And one of the really neat things that they've done in our organization that John was really high on was never do it for any benefit, but to just go out and give. Mm-hmm. You know, altruistic, right, is the technical jargon to say, I don't want anything in return. You know, if I'm making this donation, how often in life do you see kind of business or dealings where it's, hey, if I donate, I want this in return? Mm-hmm. That is never the approach we should have with giving. It should purely be, hey, I'm here with time or money. They're both equally important, mm-hmm. just to give.
Yeah. You know, as I sit here as a business owner, we do this, you know, the exact same that you guys do, you're giving with time or with, you know, resources. You know, last Friday I sent three guys out to help AMA move out of their storage unit into their new location. We don't have to do that stuff. We want to help, you know, that we want to give time. You know, here at my agency, we have a community service benefit where I actually pay every single employee 2 hours a month to donate their time to a charity. So I want to give back into the community because the community needs that. They need that support. And I want the community to be a better place for, you know, it's not selfishly, mm-hmm. I don't need that. I want that for everyone. So yeah, that it's really cool to hear, you know, about your, you know, with Savage and Associates. Obviously they're huge in the Toledo area with everything they've got going on. So I appreciate you sharing that.
No, keep doing what you guys are doing. I think we all see it, whether it's on social media or just in conversation. You guys are leading the charge, just trying to follow and spread the same message you guys do with a good backdrop of what Savage has done to Toledo. We're just trying to bring that to the Findlay market.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, you guys are doing a nice job. Hey, I appreciate having you guys on. I appreciate everything you do for your community. Best of luck in your new endeavor. And hey, your first podcast, man, that was a lot of fun. Honestly, that was good to hear your story. And then we'll follow up. If the Browns win the Super Bowl, John, you're coming back on, and that's all you're going to talk about is the Browns.
Let's do this. Hey, you guys have been amazing hosts. Thank you very much for having us on. We greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate you doing this podcast and inviting us to be a part of it. I love the message. Let's just spread some positivity. I think we're all better off because of it.
Yeah, I'm really glad you guys, joined us and came on. And again, thanks for sharing your story.
Curtis Frisch and Jonathan Brimley offer securities and investment advisory services through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, or RAA, member of FINRA SIPC. RIA is separately owned in other entities and/or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of RIA. 2498 Bluestone Drive, Suite A, Findlay, Ohio, 45840, phone number 419-420-9049.
This has been the Hometown Highlights Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed this conversation. For similar interviews, you can subscribe to the podcast. Thanks again to our sponsors at Hitchings Insurance. Thanks for your time, and we look forward to the next show. This has been the Hometown Highlights Podcast. We hope you've enjoyed this conversation. For similar interviews, you can subscribe to the podcast. Thanks again to our sponsors at Hitchings Insurance. Thanks for your time, and we look forward to the next show.